Welcome to the podcast of Encounter Ministries International. This message ministered by Leon Dupria will bring supernatural transformation to your life, and we also believe that you will have an unforgettable encounter with the supernatural God. For more free resources such as sermons, videos, photos, and information on this ministry, please visit our website at www.encounterint.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube by searching for Encounter Ministries International or Leon Dupria. We hope that this message will be a blessing to you.
I need to just pray for a few people. I want you just to stand and just stand as you are. Let tonight not be about spectating. I begged God this afternoon. I asked Him that I want to be invisible tonight. I want His fullness to be in this place. I want you to encounter Him in your seat. I want you to encounter His presence. The fullness of God. Paul said that we may know the width, the height, the length, the breadth, and the depth of your love. It speaks of a fullness. It speaks of a tangible fullness of the manifest presence of God that is available for His people. And there's a movement that is coming upon this planet. It's called the movement of the glory of God. For the Bible says that the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? It's about the knowledge of the manifest presence of God. Another verse says that as we behold Him, the glory of the Lord, we will be changed into that very same image. That word behold speaks of intricately studying the manifest presence of God. How do I intricately study and scrutinize the manifest presence of God? I can only do it by experiencing and encountering it. We praised Him, we worshiped Him, and now we're standing in the manifest presence of God, and nothing is impossible. You can receive a miracle. How many of you believe that? I want to begin to see creative miracles. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me two words over this weekend. He said, Leon, spiritual power is the theme of this year. That's just what I heard from me personally. Spiritual power. During this fast, you're going to receive spiritual power. Not a flaky power covered with a grace gospel. No. This is going to be a true power. For I heard this with the Lord speaking to me about the Smith Wigglesworths of the hour and the George Whitfields, who would open his mouth and preach the gospel that not one person can stand under his words, that they would not be knocked down under the power of God. Or Mary Wordsworth Edward, where the people would criticize her in the meetings and she would say that the judgment of God is going to fall upon you, and their mouths would physically be shut for the whole evening, unable to get a word out. I heard this with the Lord saying to me, where is the true power of the Holy Ghost and the true power of God in the living church? I sense that God is going to begin to pour out a spiritual power upon every single one of us this year, especially those that will say, listen here, I am going to enter into this fast and I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to die to myself and I want to experience and encounter the supernatural power of God. Amen. I really love the presence of God. I don't want to carry on doing anything, but you know, when we were worshiping, I heard the sound of heaven. I heard the sound of rushing waters beginning to come into this place. And it was the first time when I heard the sound of many voices, the sound of rushing waters coming, and I began to experience the activities of angels coming into this place. And I came to the realization that God is going to begin to take many in this place, because many of you, of your hearts, have come to a place where you said, we are willing. And because you are willing, the power of God is going to come down. For many have asked, where is the power of God? But I heard two words this weekend. I just heard spiritual power. And I see that many times in the church, sadly, spiritual power has been lacking. So one of the attacks that I get the most, whether it's on the internet or whether it is face to face, is when I speak about paying the price for the power of God. And then people come with their false things saying, you don't have to pay a price. Jesus done it all. I know Jesus done it all, don't take a truth out of context. Jesus done it all for salvation. He's done it all for everything, but we must receive the rest. And a disciple must pay a price. You know, that's a message I get attacked the most, which tells me it must be true. But God spoke about spiritual power. You know, I thought about great men of God like Smith Wigglesworth that would raise people from the dead. He would walk into a funeral, sit in front of the coffin, and walk up to the coffin in the middle of the funeral and raise that person from the dead. And George Whitefield that would preach, and the power would be so falling upon the people just in his preaching that people can't stand. Amy Semple McPherson would begin to minister, and a whole side of the congregation would fall over, and the newspapers would come to her to find out what is happening. And the one person, the one journalist, says he thought that she was shocking the people as she would lay hands on him, and so that they can fall over. And he went to one of the people that's ushers in the church, and he said, "Where is your power generator?" And as the usher took him downstairs and said, "Listen here," and he opened a door in the basement and he said, "This is the power generator." And as the journalist walked in, he saw about 50 grandmothers on their knees praying and seeking God's face. And there is an absolutely no revival that has ever hit the planet Earth without the precedence of prayer. And you know, I thought of just sharing something tonight about the power and the importance of prayer and fasting and sacrificing ourselves. That will bring spiritual power upon your life. Habakkuk chapter number 3 verse 4. Just put it for me up on the screens there. Habakkuk chapter number 3 verse 4. I just want to read this verse. You know, and then we're going to pray for you. But after I've just ministered a little bit, but I'll see where God is taking us. But Habakkuk chapter number 3 verse 4. You know, for the last 2 weeks, last week I ministered on seeking God's face, and then the evening about sacrifice. But Joel spoke about this morning about worship, and worship is intimacy. And it's very powerful because intimacy is the foundation of our Christian life. Amen. And if you don't have intimacy with God, if you don't have a relationship with God, you know, that is the very foundation. That is where everything starts from. I can intercede or I can have spiritual warfare, but if I do not have a relationship with God, it mounts to nothing. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter number 3 verse 4, it's not on my notes, it says, his brightness was like the light. Go for me from verse 3. Okay, there's a line missing. I swear I read a line in my Bible. Okay, that's fine. Go to verse 4. Okay, his brightness was like the light. I'm going to just share with you something that happens in the presence of God. You know, how many of you experienced the time to go like this tonight when we were worshiping? I can stand and worship like that for hours and hours. That is where we enter into a place called eternity. That is where the glory of God comes down. There's absolutely no way that I as a Christian can ever enter into the manifest presence of God as a rule without worship. Amen. It happens with worship. It happens with intimacy. And there's a protocol, which means it's praise, worship. I enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, and then worship. It says his brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand. This is what is happening in heaven. No, man, I swear I read something there somewhere. Let me just check in my Bible. Sorry, just excuse me for a second. I want his spiritual power to fall tonight. I want to see miracles. Those who we prayed for, please move your body wherever you're at. You should have done it right here. And if the pain is gone or something is moving, please come and tell us. You know, I'm tired of we seeing miracles out there, and when we move out there, and the people have such an expectation and hunger, and you don't even have to pray before the service. You just walk in there and lay hands, and people getting delivered and set free. I wanted to see it here, and God is going to do it here. I had an incredible vision this afternoon. I was praying for hours, and I was worshiping God, and the presence of God came in, and again, it was like that. An hour just went like this, and I was in the spiritual habitation where I saw you as the people of destiny begin to move, and I saw things happening and a move of God that was going to spark. There is a revival that is coming. That revival is not going to be a seeker-sensitive church trying to appease to the sensitivities of man, but it is going to be a move where God's power is going to fall. Amen. Revival is with God's power. The revival is powerful, but it has to be God. It cannot be a man-made thing. Now to find the book of Habakkuk. Wait, here we go. Okay, let me just read you. See, there's something wrong with that program. But it's not on the, I told you there's a line here. It says, it's like between verse 3 and 4. It says, his glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. The glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. Now you can go to verse 4. It says, His brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of His hand. Why do you have King James Version there? Okay, well, anyway, change it to New King James Version because it's changing words here. Sorry. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from His hand. And there His power was hidden. There's a place, the verse before that, it says His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of His praise. When we begin to praise God and when we begin to worship Him, we're entering into a place which is the manifest presence of God. But the scripture says that there His power is hidden. His power is hidden. Amen. It is not just for every... Sometimes we look at people like Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Kuhlman, Amy Semple McPherson, and we think these people are just special or they just decided to go up onto stage and God just used them. No, there was a price that was paid by every single one of them. Amen. There was a price that was paid by Moses. The Israelites never wanted to pay the price of seeking God's face, and Moses had to go up to the mountaintop and hear from God Himself while the Israelites were staying down in the valley. And there's a price to pay because the Bible says His power was hidden. We have to seek out His power. But anyway, that's not my message. I just want to read one verse, and this is the crux of the message. A call to spiritual power. God wants power today. You can put James 5 verse 16 up there for me. And we'll just see how we're going to flow from here. James 5 verse 16. We'll get there just now. I'm just going to read it now. It says, how many of you know in Philippians 3 verse 10, it says, Paul said these words. You don't have to change there. It's fine. He says, that I may know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Amen. And that I may know you. God speaking. Joel emphasized on this morning. I emphasized last week. That word know is gnosko, which means to intimately, experientially, first-hand experience know God. Which means that nobody else can convince me otherwise. I had a first-hand encounter and experience with the living God. If you're sitting here and you've never had an encounter with God, I want to encourage you to have an encounter with God. All you have to do is yield yourself. All you have to do is surrender yourself to Him. As we were worshiping it tonight, 99% of everyone was into the presence of God. I saw the guys, you guys were somewhere in heaven, but there were just a few individuals. I saw one person yawning right here at the end, and I thought, my goodness. But anyway, I'm so full of the fire, I didn't even know what to go, where to go, left or right, and that's why I asked God to hide me. But anyway, that Paul said that I may know you, that I may experientially, by first-hand experience and encounter, that I may have a first-hand encounter with you. But he carries on. He says, and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. In order for me to know God's power, I must both know Him by intimately and know His suffering. There must be a death that comes. There must be a price that needs to be paid. How many of you guys know that when you're going to step into this fast from tomorrow, you're going to be paying a price? Whether it's a Daniel's fast on fruits and vegetables, or some of you are going to go on water, or whatever you fast, you're paying a price. And as you pay that price, God answers every sacrifice with His fire from heaven. Come on, are you guys with Him? Which means that if we desire to live a living sacrifice from tomorrow morning, and we say, God, I'm going to sacrifice myself and I'm going to live a living sacrifice. I said last week, Sunday, if God answers a sacrifice by fire and I decide to take my body and live a living sacrifice, God will answer me by fire every single second that I offer a sacrifice up before Him. And I offer a sacrifice of worship, and God smells the sacrifice of worship and He answers it by fire. And I sacrifice and offer a sacrifice of giving, God smells it and He answers it by fire. Somebody comes against me and attack me, I forgive them, I release them, and God answers it by fire. Somebody comes and offends me, I forgive them, God answers it by fire. Somebody comes and attacks me, or circumstances come against me, and I sacrifice up before God and I read the word and I pray, every single second God begins to answer that by fire, and I will be a living sacrifice, continually being with the fire of God upon me. Amen. There is a state and a realm where we can walk in the fire of His presence all the time. Amen. Not many of you believe that. But there was moments, where I said it last week. I think I said last week or some youth meeting, where I couldn't even go to bed. I lie in bed and I could feel this fire burning all over my body. And I can't go to bed. And it's like 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I see visions and I see my future. When Moses was in the glory of God, when God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock, when God was speaking to Moses face to face and he had the activities of heaven all around him, Moses saw right into the future. Are you guys with him? The Bible says that God passed by Moses. He was not allowed to look on his face, which speaks of another word, not really God's face, but he was allowed to look on his back, which speaks of everything from there on forward, which means that when Moses was in the glory and the presence of God, he saw his whole future. He saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He saw the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He saw us sitting here praising and worshiping him. When you and I are in the glory of God, in the manifest presence of God, you have the ability to tap right into your future and see what God has for you tomorrow and enter into that place and bring it into your today. Are you guys with him? In eternity, there's absolutely no time. When you spend time in eternity, when we worship, heaven comes down. Remember, the glory of God is the atmosphere of heaven. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God is the government of heaven, and the power of God is the ability of heaven. When I worship God and his glory, his manifest presence comes down, that is heaven coming into this place. How many of you guys know that there was a little bit of heaven here tonight? All we need to do is receive it. The atmosphere is loaded in this place tonight. The atmosphere is loaded with deliverances. The atmosphere is loaded with a miracle and with a financial breakthrough. And some of you might think I'm just a prosperity preacher, but listen, I'll give you a chance to clap just now. But I was struggling with finance. Let me just give a short testimony. You all said I must do it, so I'll do it. Because, you know, when we preach, God will bless you, prosperity, hearts rise up, but nothing happens with me. Have you asked God in an intimate relationship? Have you gone to him on your knees? I was battling in a time now, really battling, and everything was going wrong, and I had to begin to sell stuff. And I thought, what's going on? And then I realized after 3 weeks, I didn't ask God for help. And then I got on my knees. Now, before the living God, I got on my knees. I was praying. I was in God's presence. And I said, God, you are my Father. I said, I need this amount. I need it like now. Otherwise, people are phoning me. Everybody's phoning me. The accounts are phoning me. And it's weeks later. I need your help now. Bless me. And I was just, why can't God bless me? And I said, and I began to, the Jabez thing, if it worked for Jabez, and the old covenant had to work for me. And I said, God, bless me. I said, please bless me. I need a breakthrough now. Speak to someone. I said, you know people. I said, bless me. 6 hours later, somebody phoned me and said, Leon, I don't know what's happening, but God is not leaving me alone. I need to give you this. I need to give you this amount. And it came in supernaturally just like this. And you know, if you go to your Father in an intimate prayer, if you go to your Father, you raise your hands and you're in his presence and you ask him, he will meet you on time. Amen. When we praise him, you see, that's how it works. There's the cloud of the glory of God. You praised him tonight. You went into high praise. Amen. Then we began to worship him. Then you went into worship into the high places. Some of you felt like you were on cloud 99. How many of you felt that you were on top of the mountain tonight and you wanted to worship and you were upset with me just coming up onto the pulpit? But that is the presence of God. That atmosphere is loaded. Everything is available for us in that atmosphere. Daniel 11 verse 32 says, the people who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. In another translation, it says, sorry, my mistake, it didn't say it in the Hebrew. So it says in another translation. It says that maybe it says in the Hebrew, I didn't check it out, but it says in another translation, it says the people who know their God shall be strong and do. And one scholar said to me, the structure of that sentence means that it is a Hebrew picture of God giving us as believers who have an intimate relationship with him a blank check and say, listen here, Gary, listen here, Rachel, or whoever's sitting here, here's a blank check for your name. You have the ability to write on there whatever you want. The people who know their God intimately, as we worship him tonight, you began to know him. The Bible, that word, same word, know, is yada. It's the same word when Adam knew Eve. It speaks of an intimate relationship with God. Nothing is impossible for you, and you have a blank check over your name that you can write and fill in. Amen. How many of you want to do great exploits? I didn't start with my sermon, But anyway, it's quarter two, but let me just quickly go through this. James 5 verse 16, a call to spiritual power. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced fruit. Here is a man of the exact same passions as ours. In fact, the scholars tells me that James was putting it in there because in that time, the people were kind of like thought that those guys of the Old Testament were super gods and special, and God just did it for them. And he had to emphasize writing in the letter of James saying, listen here, Elijah was of the same nature as ours. He had the same passions. He had the same temptation. But he discovered a key where he would pray and God would listen to the words coming out of his mouth and the rain would stop, and he would pray and God would listen to the words of his mouth and it will begin and the heavens would give rain. And Elijah had favor. But what gave Elijah that power? What gave Smith Wigglesworth the power that as he was called up to come to the pulpit, he would just stand up from his seat to come up to the pulpit, and as he stand up, everybody would fall in the power of God? What would give them that power? What would give Maria Woodworth Etter the power where she would proclaim the judgment of God and somebody's mouth would be shut for the whole evening? Or she would stand and point and stay like that for 3 days under the power of God, not blinking, instantly take up in the glory of God. What gave them that power? It says, confess your trespasses to one another. So the Lord's just speaking to me now. I had actually other keys here, but let me just speak about this confession because it's just coming to me now. But you know, I know we know this, but I think I must just refresh it quickly, because my prayer will not be effective and fervent if I do not walk in transparency. If I hide sin in my heart, God cannot hear my prayer. David is saying, if I hide a sin in my heart, God cannot hear my prayer. Whether I fell into pornography, whether I did something stupid, whether I went and smoked a joint because I got tired because somebody didn't greet me at church, or I get a lot of hate SMSs. I got them in today again. And this afternoon from someone, but we'll see what happens there. But despite that, where am I now? Oh yes, if I hide sin in my heart, if I do something stupid, because maybe I didn't greet you, Pastor Mark didn't greet you, and I'm really sorry if I didn't, but and we decide to go backslide, my prayer cannot be effective and fervent if I don't confess that sin to someone. As humbling and painful as what it is, I must go to somebody and say, I do it all the time. You know, somebody offended me really bad the other day, about a month ago, and I was really hurt, and I never thought it could get me. And for a month, and I even preached on the pulpit here and everything, and I couldn't get to God before. And you guys all had a great time, but I couldn't. I was praying the afternoon, and God didn't come into my room. And I was at the teen camp, and the fire of God was everywhere, but God didn't come into my room. And I know the presence of God. I'm not going to be fooled by him. I'm not going to make it up. I know when God is not there or not there. He just used me because he can use a donkey at the right time. But he didn't speak to me. I didn't feel his presence. And it, after a month, it was just too much. And one morning early, I woke up 4 o'clock and I prayed. And now. And God said to me, you have offense in your heart. You have this thing in your heart. And because of this, I cannot even take you further. But even when so close, he said, if you don't deal with it now, you'll be destroyed now. And I remember sitting in my room and I broke down in tears and I forgave the person who hurt me. And not even, it was not even they really hurt me. It was me who took offense. And I had to go and face that person and confess and say, listen here, I had this thing, but I had to come clean. And as I did it, the very second I did it, presence of God came back into my life. Many Christians today battle and not experience even the presence of God in the church because they are hiding sin in their heart. Now, please, I'm not saying that we are causing sin or messing up. We'll never stop sinning. We can sin less, but we'll never stop sinning. But hiding a sin in our hearts, God wants us to confess it, to get out of it. Once we do that, our prayer will become fervent. Our prayer will become earnest. And my thing is to bring spiritual power upon our life. Our prayer must be fervent. The word fervent means energeo, to bring about, to cause a state to be, to bring something, which means that our prayer must be so powerful that it must bring something. When we were worshiping God tonight, and when we guys were praying and worshiping God, I could feel a move in the Spirit of God here tonight. I could feel a move in the atmosphere, which means that God came down. How many of you are as privileged as I am to know that God was here in this place? Nothing is impossible. Amen. There were men and women throughout history who were successful until they quit praying. You see, it's not me confessing, I've got the power. Confessing, frame it, name it type of thing. It only happens when I spend time on my knees. We can't fool ourselves and think that preacher has the anointing and the gifts and he didn't pay the price to get there. Amen. You see, the degree of your fervent, intense prayer will be the degree of an open heaven over your life. And the more we fervently pray and the more we seek His face and fasting through this fast, the heavens will open our lives. But not only that, wherever we go, there will be an open heaven and you will be an open heaven. I mentioned last week, I've met people like that. I can just sit around them and it's crazy. Sometimes I shake, I cry, and they're just sitting there because of the open heaven that's upon their lives. Amen. Prayer number two. So prayer must be fervent. I must confess, I must be transparent, I must humble myself. Then my prayer must become fervent. It must become passionate. It must become, in fact, in another translation it says, fervency in the dictionary means having and displaying a passionate intensity when we pray. Not, and that's how I pray in tongues. Some people pray like that. We're all praying and they pray. My goodness, how must God move? When we pray with, and I want to challenge you, and I don't know what this is, but I just want to challenge us with this fasting. Pray with an intensity. When you skip your meals, or you skip all your meals, or you skip some meals, pray with an intensity. Get on your knees and begin to pray and raise your hands. I always say, you know, sometimes I sit in my room, I might have not praised or worshiped, but because of relationship, I'll just sit in my room, I'll raise my hands and I'll say, Father, just come and enter into this place. I love you. I worship you. And as I begin to say that, I begin to pray. But then you begin to pray with an intercession and a passion. Otherwise, God will get bored. When we pray, we begin to pray in other tongues. And we pray like, can everybody pray in the Spirit for me? I want us just to pray for a few seconds. Pray with an intensity and a fire. Khabom dele bareke dele ban dele bareke dele ben ele bushe kemene mana khabom dele bareke dele ban dele bushe kemene man khabya shekene dele bareke dele ban dele bareke dele bene man khabyan dele bareke dele ban dele bushe kemene bene man khabyon dele bareke dele ban dele bushe kemene bene man khabyon dele bareke dele ban dele bushe kemene bene bareke dele bene man khabyan dele dele bareke dele ban dele bushe kemene man khabyon dele bene man. That's how easy it is. Do that for 1 hour. Life will change like this. I'm going to make a call after the, I'll let you go if those that want to leave, and then we'll make a call for prayer because the time is getting late. Then our prayer must be earnest. The word earnest is very powerful. It means prosuki, which actually speaks of a prayer to God, but the second meaning, it actually speaks of a place of prayer. And how many of you guys know that Jesus said, He said, but when you pray, go into your room, shut your door, and your Father who is in the secret place will hear your prayers. I'm just paraphrasing. We'll meet you there. There's a place in the Spirit, a place called prayer, that when we begin to pray, we go to that place. In that place, God is there waiting for us. Amen. And that place, I can go into my room, I can close my door, as I said, I can raise my hands, and I go into that place where God is waiting for me. The Bible isn't saying he's going to come, or the Bible doesn't say he's going to take an hour to come. The Bible says he's in that place. He's in the secret place. And in fact, there's a lot of keys, there's a whole sermon there, but Jesus said, shut the door behind you, which speaks of silence. And some people just think we come to a corporate prayer and that's it. We will never get the power of God if I don't spend alone time in prayer with God and intimately with Him. Okay? Prayer must be earnest. God is waiting in that place for you. So those are the keys. Number one, I must confess. Number two, I must pray with a fervency. Number three, I must pray earnestly. When I do that, the results will be spiritual power. Not only that, I'm not going to go through that verse. The time is finished. But the other results will be in Cornelius. I'm not going to read the verse in Cornelius. Acts chapter number 10, verse 8. The Bible says that Cornelius was praying. He was giving alms. And he was being devout. And an angel came and visited him. And the angel said, listen, go and send men to Joppa for Peter. And then another place, it says that when Cornelius was speaking about the story, he said, listen here, I was praying and fasting. And all of a sudden, I had a vision of an angel coming into my place, coming into my room. And he began to give me direction. When you and I begin to decide to confess our sins, to begin to be transparent, to begin to pray with a fervency and earnesty, and we begin to fast as we're going to start tomorrow, when we do those things and you give as you give tonight, it's called the three chord of the Christian life. Praying, fasting, and giving. Those three chord can never be broken. A Christian that does those three things in their lives will experience the spiritual power that God has for them. Not only that, you will experience angelic activity. Cornelius experienced that. How many of you believe that you can experience some angelic activity even at home? Angels can come into your place while you're worshiping. You will experience a new season and a movement that God has for you. Cornelius was ushering in the movement of the Gentiles right there because God decided to use him. He was a devout man. He was praying. He was fasting. And when God was looking for somebody to usher in a movement to the Gentiles, a new movement, something that was unheard of but only prophesied about, God decided to use Cornelius, who was applying those qualities into his life. When you apply those qualities in your life, God will bring a new season and a new movement upon your life. Amen. And the third key is God will bring direction, guidance, and the will of God. He said to Cornelius, he said, send men, do this, go there, do that. Amen. There will be direction of the will of God upon your life. Do those things. The one who prays fervently and earnestly will be effective in spiritual power and will dwell in the glory, the manifest presence of God. Amen. And I want you to just, can everybody stand to their feet for me quickly? I'm going to make a call and I want us to make a commitment for this fast. And I want to call you forward and we're going to pray. And I'm going to trust God to clothe us with His power. The word clothe means to put on a piece of clothing that becomes a second skin to you, which means that you can walk out of this place so clothed with the power of God. I've sometimes been so clothed with the power of God, I don't care who or what is coming against me. Listen, this year we're going to need spiritual power. This year is going to be a clash between, as Pastor Marcus prophesied, light and darkness. This year, when a burglar breaks into your house 2 o'clock in the morning and he comes for you or he comes for your wife, the only thing that will help you is when you point your finger at him and you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you devil, I bind you. But you're going to need that with spiritual power. Or you just raise your hands and you say, let the presence of God come into this place right now and rebuke that devil. But we need spiritual power. Confessing, claiming, naming, and framing it ain't going to work. Amen. I need the true power of God upon my life. That is going to come through prayer, fasting, and giving, as you guys have given tonight. Those three things is very powerful. But if you hear and you're saying to me, Leon, I want to make a decision. Now, you know, we're going to, those that come forward and can pray, we're going to pray, we're going to enter one more time in God's presence. And I'm going to trust God for impartation. There's a thing called impartation. It's by the laying on of hands, which is very powerful. I can either receive the presence and the power and the fire of God by spending years in His presence, or I can receive it with somebody that has paid the price. And most of my greatest encounters and impartations that I've received, yes, was in my room alone, but was mostly from certain men of God that God has ordained me to end up by them so they could lay hands on me. From a revivalist that has started the longest revival in South America, to having supper with him and laying hands on me, to another person in Miami that has done the same, and to another person that has done the same. I'm not going to get into that border. God has orchestrated for certain people to lay hands on me. Do not underestimate the laying on of hands. Paul had to receive the laying on of hands by Ananias. For him to activate him into the move of God for his life. So I'm going to trust God for His power to come in. It's 2 minutes before eight. If you want to leave after this, if you want to leave, you can do so. Do not be offended. If you want to go, you can go. If you need to have children, but those that want to stay for this one prayer, we're going to go for that. That prayer call is this. It is, if you want to make a decision and say, God, I want to dedicate from tomorrow, at least for this fast. If you do this for this 21 days and there's not a change in your life, come to me, you can slap me through my face. If you're saying, I'm going to fast, and I want to dedicate either 1 hour of intense, fervent prayer and worship into intimacy with Him as we did tonight. Or 2 hours or 3 hours. You know, or more, whatever. But you want to make a decision, but not less than 1 hour a day. Every single day. Wake up early or the night or whenever you can. You want to make a commitment to do that and to enter the presence of God. I give you my word. If you do that and you read the word also the same day, not that same hour, but maybe later, and you read the word, in 21 days, your whole life will be changed upside down. I promise you'll experience the presence of God. You'll experience the power of God. You'll have a relationship with Him. Something will change your heart. Amen. God draws near to us when we draw near to Him. So can everybody close their eyes? I'm gonna call you out now. I just want to pray for them. For if anybody has to leave, that you'll be with them, that you'll protect them and guard them. But I want to pray right now, Lord, that you will fill every single one of us with spiritual power in Jesus' name. Clothe us with your power. Clothe us with the true power of God in Jesus' name. If you're standing here and you're saying you want to receive an impartation of the true spiritual power of God, and you want to make the decision now to pray for 1 hour during this fast, I want you to come out, to come to the front, or come forward, or you can go home if you need to go. I understand that. We'll close the service here, but we're going to worship Him. I'm going to lay hands on you quickly. I'm going to pray for the lightning fire of God to come upon you. And if everyone comes out, you can do a ring of fire. Just go around. In the Lord, we are hungry for you. We are hungry for revival. We are hungry for personal revival. We are hungry for the presence and the power and the glory of God. We are hungry to be clothed with your power. I pray right now, Father, that you will impart a measure of spiritual power to every single person in the name of Jesus Christ.
This is the realm of your glory. This is the realm of your grace. I can feel mighty power.